Well, good morning again. Yes, first time was great. So happy to be with you today. Been away for a couple of weeks. Today, Pastor Jeff is not here. If you are a guest here and you're looking for our lead pastor, it's not me. Actually, in a month, I won't be here at all. And so get me while you can. But Pastor Jeff is, sorry, I don't know if I was trying to be rude to myself, but Pastor Jeff is not here, and he's taken some time away, just some vacation days, and I know him and Ainsley have enjoyed the time away, just being able to hang out and just be refreshed and to just enjoy God's presence. And so would you keep them in your prayer as they recoup and God gets them ready for all that he has for this church. And we have a fantastic pastor, and we are a very blessed congregation to be under his ministry here at Community and in our city. And so please pray for him. Even when he is here, pray for him. It's important to pray for your pastor. So we love Pastor Jeff and Ainsley and thankful for what they do. The past 2 weeks, I've had the opportunity to be away and preach at two different junior high camps. It was at Lakeshore the first week up in Cobourg, Ontario, and then I just on Friday night returned from Saskatchewan. I was there speaking again at Living Waters Camp, and it was a great time. God showed up and did some awesome things and touched some students' lives. And for those of you who knew I was away, I appreciate your prayers and your encouragement. And it was really cool to, especially at Lakeshore, it's a camp I grew up at, and cool to be a part of that and go to specific spots in the tabernacle where God impacted my life, where God showed up, where God did something, God spoke to me, and it was really cool for that moment. But it was also really interesting to speak and then to have students come up to you after and say, "Hey, you know my mom, you went to church with her." And so to know that you're now ministering to your friends' kids that you grew up in church with, and having adults in the tabernacle come up to you saying, "I remember when you were this high," and it's a cool experience to see things kind of come full circle. And it was really, really, really awesome, and God was really faithful. Pastor Jordan was also away this past week speaking at a kids' camp, and I know God showed up there and did some awesome things. And so pray for your staff as we're out ministering. I know in 2 weeks, I believe it is, Pastor Steve and Jess are going to be leading worship at family camp, and so we know that that they're going to show up and do an incredible job, and God's going to reveal himself through their leading. So we're here, and I'm so excited to be with you guys. I love this church, and I love that I get the opportunity to be here and communicate God's word with you this morning as we continue our series on Foolproof. If you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27 to 30 is where we'll be reading today. Today's message is called A Fair Neighbor, How to Be a Fair Neighbor. And we really want to be that person. We want to be that good neighbor. And so we're going to look at what Proverbs has to say about that today. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27 to 30, it says this: "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Go and come again, then tomorrow I will give it,' when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm." Let's pray one more time this morning. Father, I thank you for your word, the truth that it speaks. I pray that truth from your word would not be just information today, but transformation. That God, our hearts would be ready to receive and to be transformed with your words and what you would want us to do with your words today. Lord, we love you and we need you. In your name we pray, amen. For a lot of you, you might know this, or the lyrics to this song. For some of you, you might have no clue what I'm talking about, but you'll get it pretty quickly. It would be a better day It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Now, I'm not singing it accurately, obviously, because that would hurt everybody's ears. It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood. By the way, whenever he said beauty wood, he always kind of whispered it into the closet. I don't know if he didn't know how to say it properly. I don't know. But a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I've always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. Oh, how kind. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? And it's time you throw a shoe to the other hand. Please, won't you be my neighbor? This is the song from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. How many would know that show? I think it started a long time ago. I believe it was on for 895 episodes. For 33 years, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was on the air, and he would sing that song every day. I'm sure at some point some of the people died in that neighborhood, but he still wanted to be their neighbor. But that was Mr. Rogers' song every single day, and he would sing that song and had so much excitement. He'd put on his little sweater jacket thing, and he would zip it up and bring it down and zip it up again. Looked at you like, hey, wasn't that impressive? I know how to do a zip. That's what he looked like. It was just incredible, and he would change his shoes and put on his comfortable shoes, and then he would go into his show, and oftentimes in that show, he was trying to equip you or teach you and to give you information that you needed. It was the kind of neighbor that Mr. Rogers was. And he would have Trolley show up, and Trolley would go off into the imagination or to the, you know, I can't remember the name of it now, but they would go off, and he would have all those puppets, especially that one scary puppet. I can't remember the name, but it was scary. And now kids these days haven't been able to enjoy the same kind of quality. They have Daniel's neighborhood thing, and it's kind of a copy of it, but he's like an animal. It's weird. But anyways, and so we have this neighborly desire from Mr. Rogers. It would be a better day, or sorry, the reality of that song is most of us would like that. We would like that neighbor. We would like that person, like Mr. Rogers, who is so friendly, who is so kind, who is the best neighbor you can have. Like every day, instead of birds chirping, you would hear him singing about you being his neighbor. It would be the best thing. But if we're being honest, there are moments where our song as a neighbor or about our neighbors would sound a little different. Like it wouldn't be as chipper as Mr. Rogers. It would more be like, it would be a better day in the neighborhood, a better day in the neighborhood. Would you please leave? Could you please leave? That would be, I wrote it myself. I'm coming out with a show. But that's the reality is for some of us, we have that experience where the neighbor that we have is not the neighbor that we want. Or the neighbor that we have kind of gets under our skin and it kind of frustrates us. And we can't be as chipper as Mr. Rogers was every single day for 800-something episodes. We've all had moments where that neighbor has not been much of a neighbor and we'd love it if they were not our neighbor. Truth is, if you haven't had that, you could be that neighbor. Don't worry. Or you just actually love your neighbors, which is good. But about being this fair neighbor, about being the neighbor that is required, about being that good neighbor, there are some things that were shown in Proverbs chapter 3 that Solomon gives us. And if we were to follow these things, we could be pretty sure that it would lead us to being the neighbor that is required, to being the fair neighbor that is needed for those around us. It says in the scripture that we read today in verse 27, it says, do not withhold good from those whom it's due when it is in your power to do it. Verse 28, do not say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. And do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. There is this expectation for us to act, expectation for us to do, but also an expectation for us to notice. Our first point this morning is that a fair neighbor sees the opportunity to give. A fair neighbor sees the opportunity to give, that when there is that opportunity in front of them, they take advantage of it and they look to do good with what they have. They see the person in front of them. They see the person who lives next door. They see that neighbor and they are aware of how they can contribute to this person. And so they look for the opportunity to give. The scripture uses the word withhold, which is to hold back or to refuse to provide something. That in a moment where you see this person, where you're around this person, and you have something that you can give, but you hold it back, he was saying that's not being a fair neighbor. But being a fair neighbor would be somebody who would see the very same need, who would see the very same circumstance, and offer the help and give to where the need is. A fair neighbor goes and seeks out how they can give, the opportunity that they can give. When you are in a position to give, it's your responsibility to give what is good to those whom it is due. This could refer to wages that have been earned or returning something that has been borrowed. I don't know if you remember renting movies and renting video games. For most of our kids today, all they know is go to the TV or any kind of device and they can get movies in an instant. I remember for myself having to go to the stores that we went to in Quebec where they had all these movies. And here's my frustration back then. I just want to share just one brief moment. You'd go to rent a movie and the movie would not be there because they only had 2 copies in English and 80 in French. And none of the French ones were taken because they all watched the English version too because it was horrible when you translated it. But that was my frustration of going to the movies. And so when you go rent video games, here's what you would do. When you knew that your parents wouldn't say yes at that moment to rent a game, you knew it was going to happen. You would go to the store, see that it was in, and you would hide it behind another game so that when you showed up, you knew exactly where to go. It was quite a good plan. And I remember we would go often to the video store and we would rent video games for our Sega Genesis. And I remember this one time we had rented, I believe it was a hockey game, and we kept it for quite a while. Usually you had to return it the next day by 6 o'clock. And if you didn't, there was some kind of penalty, some kind of fee that had to be paid, and nobody wants to pay the fee. And you had reasons, sorry, my car broke down and I live 10 minutes away, sorry, apologize. We would have excuses, but I remember my brother and I, we rented this game and we played it for the day that we were supposed to play it. But we didn't bring it back, we played it for another day. We didn't bring it back, we played it for another day. And then we just waited a couple of months and kept playing the game. And I'll never forget, my cousin actually went to my mom, Tattletale, and he said, Adam and Curtis have had a game for about 3 months. And we quickly heard the steps coming downstairs. What? You are returning that game right now? I'm like, I'm not returning it. I don't want to be the guy who shows his face and say, hey, this game was last year's model. I just want to give it back to you. I apologize. But there was that moment of we had to give it back. We had to bring it back. The worst thing, possible thing that could take place is that you go to rent the video game, because this happened before, where you go to rent the game or the movie, and they say, that'll be a $2 charge. Well, $2, that's like a year's wage. Like, what are you talking about? I'm 17. I'm like, I'm pretty young. and $2, like, yeah, there was a game. It was brought back a day late. I'm like, $2 for a day. I wonder what 3 months was. But anyways, but there was this like frustration, like who didn't bring it back? Who didn't bring the game back? Or who didn't bring the movie back? But the reality is when you have taken something, when you have borrowed something, when there's something in your possession that it belongs to somebody or that person, it deserves that thing to be in their possession, you have a responsibility to bring that thing to them. There is a responsibility in your life as a follower of Jesus to take notice of needs that are all around you. And it is your responsibility and my responsibility to bring that thing to the person who deserves it. That we give to what is needed. We give to who deserves. And we bring that. You see, we talked about wages or borrowing something, but in a wider sense, it can mean never withhold kindness or a good deed from someone who is entitled. That we should not hold back the goodness that we have to give someone. Like if you're cutting your grass and in Orleans the properties are massive, you have so much room to do things on your lawn. But it's sarcasm. And so you have this. You're cutting your grass and you know your neighbor's away, but you make sure you don't cross the line. And the moment you do, you think, ah, I wasted my time. It's crazy. And you just try and make sure you put down like a measuring tape right down the line. Say, do not cross the measuring tape. Now I do not do this. No, I do not. My wife does. I'm just joking. So she's here. I love her. But you don't want to cross over. But God says, or Solomon's trying to tell you that if you have an opportunity to do good, that if you have an opportunity to be kind, that if that opportunity is available to you and you have it at your disposition, you should use it. You should give that kindness. You should operate in goodness in that moment. To be a fair neighbor is taking notice of opportunities to give. Taking notice of opportunities where you can be that good neighbor, where you can shine that light, where you can be someone who reveals goodness to somebody. Everybody's looking for a good neighbor, but oftentimes we're not sure, how do we do this? How do we take that step at being that good neighbor? It's taking an opportunity or looking for the opportunity to do good, to give, to be kind, to give to that person who is in need and to see them and to act on it. And that could be a wide variety of things, but there's simple moments in our life where we can walk by somebody and see an opportunity to be good. In high school, I remember my last year, I changed schools, and there was this one moment. I'm new to the school, and there's this girl sitting on the bench crying. And I remember walking by, and I see everybody just walking by, and she's sitting there crying, sitting there with tears in her eyes, and not one person has stopped to see what is wrong. And in a moment, you have an opportunity, when you see it, to give goodness or to give kindness. And I remember stopping and seeing her and saying, is everything okay? And in a moment where tears covered her face, she began to wipe them away, and you can start to see a smile begin to turn around because someone stopped, noticed an opportunity, and showed goodness, and showed kindness. As believers, we need to constantly be aware of what is around us, constantly be aware of who is around us. I said this last week, that we oftentimes have to live our life not by what we see, but by what we hear. Because oftentimes the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and pointing out opportunities for us to show goodness, to show kindness. That you could be in a parking lot of a grocery store and you see this person coming towards you, and you know that you want to get your quarter back because you have to put a quarter to get the shopping cart, and they're walking towards you and you think to yourself, quickly put it back, get the quarter back, and they have to pay for it themselves. But in a moment, you can actually show goodness and kindness by saying, here, well, let me give you a quarter. It's okay. It's simple moments of us being kind, showing goodness, showing that opportunity of showing the goodness to people who deserve it. And we think, well, who deserves it? The reality is everyone. Everyone deserves your goodness. Everyone deserves your kindness. So as a follower of Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility to show this goodness and show this kindness and look for every opportunity to give. And as we do that, as we find those opportunities and we don't withhold or we don't hold back what somebody needs, you are easily finding yourself becoming a good neighbor. So the first is, a fair neighbor seeks the opportunity to give. The second one is a fair neighbor responds quickly. A fair neighbor responds quickly. We see in verse 29 that it's talking about a situation where you have the opportunity now, but you would say, well, go away and then come back tomorrow, maybe then. It says, do not say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. That we seek the opportunity, we look for the opportunity to give, and in that moment where you see it, where you have that opportunity, it is our responsibility to act swiftly. To act quickly, to move into action. I like to say it this way, that a good neighbor or a fair neighbor acts, responds. But it's much more, it's response quickly, that we do it immediately. In that same show of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, there is another person, another character by the name of Mr. McFeely. Mr. McFeely was quickly going from place to place delivering the mail, quickly going from place to place delivering the packages that need to be delivered, and he would show up in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood and house, and he would begin to sing his song. Is if there anything you want, is there anything you need, McFeely's delivery brings it to you. Here with speed, yes, our speedy delivery is a speedy delivery, is a speedy delivery to you. His objective or his purpose was to deliver packages to people. His responsibility as a mailman was to make sure that you got your mail. But he didn't see it as just delivering the mail. He said, you know what? This person has asked for this. They need it now. They don't need it yesterday or tomorrow. They don't need it in a week. They need it right now. And so I want to do my very best to get this package to them now, as fast as I can, as quickly as I can. It is his job, but his passion and desire is to bring it as fast as he can to the person, because he knows they need it, because he knows they're waiting for it. And our responsibility is to look for opportunities to give. Look for opportunities where we can give to a need, but at the same time, our responsibility is to give quickly. So often our response when somebody comes to us with a need is a very nice and beautiful and kind and Christian way to say it, but let me pray about it. Can I just pray? Hey, you know what? We're actually not going to be able to do this or do that. Like, our family can't have food on the table this week because I don't have a job, and so my young kids, they won't be able to eat because we don't have money coming in. I don't know what to do. Bless you. I'm going to pray for you. I'll put you on the prayer chain. When in reality, we have an opportunity that we see right in front of us, and it's our responsibility, if we have it with us, to give right away. Not to say, hey, come back to me tomorrow when you're past the point of starvation. Not come back to me tomorrow when the time has gone by and you no longer need it. Let me give it to you right now. Let me offer my services immediately. Let me take care of your need right now. The reality is, everything that we have is a blessing from God. Everything that we have, the roof over your heads, is a blessing from God. The food you have on your table is a blessing from God. Everything you have, the vehicle you drive, is a blessing from God. Well, Pastor Adam, I worked hard for that. Yes, your job is a blessing from God. Everything you have comes from Him, because God looks out for your every need. God looks out for you and cares for you and desires to give to you to make sure you do not go without needing anything. It says that He leads us to those good things. We know that part of the Bible where it says, look, I, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because He gives us all that we need. He leads us to places of protection. He leads us to places of provision. He leads us to those places. But we have to understand that God provides so that we can also provide. He uses us as an avenue to do good. You are not just somebody who accepted Christ and maybe got baptized, but you are an extension of God's love. You are an extension of God's arm to this earth. And God will allow moments of opportunity that you will see, that you will be made aware of, that you can do something about it. And it is our responsibility not to put it off and say, well, that's quite a bit of money. Let me just wait and see what next week looks like. And if I'm good next week, well, then sure, I'll help you. But our responsibility is to act quickly. And as we act quickly, we are walking towards that fair neighbor, that good neighbor quality that is expected of us. In James chapter 2, verse 5 to 16, verse 15 to 16, I read it wrong, but it says this, I'll start in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? For brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things they needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Our faith, this thing that we cling to, this thing that we hold on to, this faith that is our foundation of our relationship with Christ, this thing that we believe in, the Bible tells us that, look, your faith needs to be attached to your works. That it's not just one without the other. It's not just, hey, it's great that you believe in me. It's great that you worship me. It's great that you have this faith in me to that I'll provide for you and take care for you. But I also want you to have the works attached to it, where you are my extension, where you are my hand to people here on earth. You have an opportunity because I have blessed you, I have given to you, and you have so that you can give. You have that opportunity. I know so many times where, and I'm guilty of it, where you walk downtown into a place where you know there are people who are in need. And you see them and you try and use the fear card where it's like, well, I don't know what they're going to do to my kids. You try and cross the street or you try and avoid that situation. But oftentimes we just don't want to break the 20 and have to give them something. But God allows us to see the need and gives us an opportunity to give and provides for us so that we can give. But he says, I want you to give now. I want you to do what you can now. If what you have is, if what they need is available to you now, it is our responsibility to act. It's our responsibility to act as God would have acted, as God would do, as God would want us to do. We need to respond by acting the way God would. So we see that a fair neighbor is someone who sees the opportunity to give, and a fair neighbor is someone who responds quickly. Thirdly today, a fair neighbor is someone who protects. A fair neighbor is someone who looks out for their neighbor. A fair neighbor is someone who looks for the need and covers them, but also protects them with what's said about them and to them. That your responsibility is for someone who is looking to build people up. And we protect people by the words that we use. When someone comes to you and desires to speak about somebody in an ill manner, it is our responsibility to protect that person. It's so easy, please hear me, it's so easy for us to sit back and be passive and to not say a thing because we don't want to look foolish or we don't want to look crazy in front of those people, but our responsibility is to stand up and protect the people that are close to us, that are our neighbor. Protect them from being hurt. Protect them from the words that might come against them. It is our responsibility to be that defender. It says here in verse 29, I believe it is, verse 28 says, do not come to your neighbor, go and come again tomorrow, I'll give you when you have with you. Do not, verse 29, do not plan evil against your neighbor, I love this, who dwells trustingly beside you. That this neighbor that you have, this person who is in close proximity to you, this neighbor is somebody who is close to you because there's a trust factor. That I can trust this person, that I could trust them with my life. I could trust them that they are not going to go behind my back and slam me down, but they are actually going to go behind my back and protect me and build me up. Please hear me, church. We have every opportunity in the world to tear people down. We have every opportunity, and we can even make it that we're justified in doing so. Do you know what they did to me? Do you know what they said about me? Do you know how they responded, how they acted? I have a neighbor, and I won't speak ill of him today, even though a lot of me would like to. He is not my biggest fan. He's a new neighbor. He's been there for about a year. I think to myself, he moved into my neighborhood. Like, who is this person, right? But he's the person who has called the bylaw office because my car was on the street in front of my house. Tell me about it. And so, and it's frustrating. If you're here, neighbor, I love you, but please stop. But that's the reality is that he does this, and I'm like, I'm angry, and I've been with Pastor Steve and Pastor Jordan, and I just want to share so many negative things, and sometimes my sinful nature takes over, and I let them come out. But Pastor Steve's like, come on, do it, just say it all. No, he doesn't do that. I apologize. But there's that desire and there's that want to be so frustrated with this person because they got you in trouble. No one likes a tattletale. It happens all the time at my house where my daughter will do something and the other daughter will come up and she's like, Dad, Ava did this. And Ava's response is like, don't tell. Ah, you're not my sister anymore. I'm like, okay, well, it doesn't really happen that way. But there's this moment of when your neighbor has gone behind your back, you're frustrated, but our responsibility that even when we're frustrated, our responsibility as a fair neighbor is not to tear down but to build up. Our responsibility as a fair neighbor is to build them up and to encourage and to pray for them and to meet their need so that even though they might do what they do, you are still going to cut their lawn. You are still going to shovel their driveway. You're going to still buy their coffee at the lineup of Tim Hortons or Starbucks, whatever one you want to spend more money on. We have a responsibility that to our neighbors that we are to protect them, to cover them. God has put them in your path. God has put them in your life for a specific reason, and He knows that you becoming a fair neighbor requires you to sometimes put down your status, to put down who you think you are, and serve, and to love, and to encourage, and to build up, but not to tear down, or to go behind someone's back and tear them down to pieces because you're not happy with something. But our responsibility is to protect. A fair neighbor is someone who protects. A fair neighbor is somebody who looks for an opportunity to give. A fair neighbor is somebody who looks to for that opportunity, but then gives quickly, gives immediately, goes out of their way to make sure that it happens. They have a responsibility to go above and beyond and be who God has called them to be. This map, this plan that Solomon has written out for us, that if we are to live out this lifestyle, it will surely lead us to being the good neighbor, the fair neighbor that every person needs. I know God so desires to reveal Himself through people. He so desires to reveal Himself through every person in this place. And the reality is, He can't be revealed through somebody who does not love anybody else. He can't be revealed through that grumpy neighbor. If you're that grumpy person, if you're that angry person, He can't be revealed for you through you, because that's not who God is. God is a God of love. God is a God of protection. God cares. God looks to provide. And it is our responsibility to be that very same thing to every person we come in contact with. It's our responsibility. Finally, this morning, the question I asked all the time, or which was asked already in Scripture, is, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? You see, we like to pick and choose who our neighbor is. It would be easy to pick and choose and say, okay, this person's nice to me, I'll be nice to them. They're my neighbor. It'd be easy to say, well, that person doesn't get involved in any of my business, so they're my neighbor. That person never calls the bylaw officer on me, so he is definitely my neighbor. That person over there, we just live next door. But there is a responsibility for us to be aware of who our neighbor is, so that we can properly act when it's needed, when it's required. Because if you don't know who your neighbor is, you won't know when to look. If you don't know who your neighbor is, you won't know when to give. If you don't know who your neighbor is, you won't know who to protect. So who is our neighbor? This question was actually asked in Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus is doing what He does. He's answering some questions, and some people are trying to find loopholes and trying to find their way around certain situations, certain circumstances, and they try and find those opportunities where they can get out of something. And in verse 25, we see where this lawyer stands up and he puts Jesus to the test. He says, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind." He says a very key right after this, "and your neighbor as yourself." Hey, you're supposed to love me with everything that you got. Love God with every part of your body. Oh, but could you also love your neighbor? I'm throwing that in there because it's just as important. That how you would want to be treated, how you would want to be loved, love that person, love that neighbor. But he goes on. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And then Jesus began to tell a story. I'm going to ask if Steve and Jess could come back up as we get ready to close in just a few moments. He begins to share the story about the Good Samaritan. If you've been in any church circle at some point, you've heard this one. Maybe in Sunday school, you saw it on the felt board, where they put the pieces there and, you know, Mary was just everybody because he ran out of pieces, and so Mary is also the Good Samaritan for some reason, and so you just do whatever you can because they were felt pieces, and it was awesome. Anybody remember those days? Okay, never mind. Yes, thank you for that one hand. I appreciate it. And Jesus says this, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among the robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead." This man's walking down the road, and he finds himself being attacked by robbers where they stop him in his tracks, they beat him down, they remove his clothes, they steal everything from him, they rob him and leave him there half dead. This man is dying. This man is not going to survive the way they have left him. It says, now by chance, it just so happens that a priest actually started walking down the road. The religious leader is walking down the road and he sees this man. He's about to pass them. He sees them. He knows he's there. He's aware of the need. He's taken an opportunity to see the need. But in a moment, he goes from seeing a need to ignoring the need. And it says that he crosses to the other side to get away and avoids the situation. It continues. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. So a second person now that by chance has shown up with a need in front of them, with somebody who cannot provide for themselves in this very moment, who has been left to die, who has had everything taken from them. And now a Levite, following a priest, a Levite comes by and sees this person and quickly goes to the other side so not to have to deal with him and avoids the need that is noticed. I don't know if at any moment they thought to themselves, well, if he's still there on my way back, maybe I'll flip him a coin or something. Maybe if he's still there and the need is still present, I'll do something, but I'm headed somewhere, so I can't really take the time. It's a lot of work. See the priest, does he not know who I am? I'm a religious leader. I have religious things to do. Sometimes we can be so caught up with being religious that we miss what God has right in front of us. Just take note of the need, be aware of the need, and answer the need quickly. But Jesus continues, thankfully. The story doesn't end with, and the man died. That'd be a pretty sad story, Jesus. It says, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. When he saw him, when he took notice of the need, when he was aware of the need, it says that he responded with compassion. Now, thankfully, it doesn't just end with he responded with compassion, but it actually says he does more than that. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. It says that he sees the need, he's aware of the need, he gets down and picks up this man, that he takes care of his bruises, his cuts, he begins to bandage him up and take care of him. And then not only that, he puts him on his own animal and walks him to a place of shelter. He brings him to this inn, this hotel, and says, here is where I'll take care of him some more. He was aware of the need. And he had things to take care of the need and immediately use them. He didn't stop and say, oh, poor guy. You know what, bud? I have all this good stuff, but in case somebody else is in worse condition than you along the way, I might have to use it there. So let me just keep walking. And if there's nobody, I'll come back and we'll take care of you. But sir, I'm half dying. Don't worry, half is better than completely. Sorry, I don't know if that was insensitive or not, but... But we left, he didn't leave him there. He said, look, I have what it takes to take care of him right now. And so let me act swiftly. Let me act quickly because his life depends on it. And it says that he brings him to the inn and takes care of him. And the next day takes out some money, takes out what he can and says, here's what I have. This is what I have available to me. I'm not going to withhold it, but I'm going to use it to provide care for this person. Now, if there is some more need that he has, I will cover that when I get back because I will have more that I could use. Aware of the need and responds with what he has. But not only that, he also brings protection. Because he brings him to a place of shelter. He brings him to a place of comfort. He brings him to a place where he can rest and heal and be better and be healthier. He does all three things that it requires for us to find ourselves becoming a fair neighbor, a good neighbor. It's all of those things. The Bible actually says in James 4:17, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. That if you are aware of what you're supposed to do, if you see the need and you know that that need needs to be met and it needs to be met by you, but you choose not to do it, you've broken God's heart. The Bible calls it sin. I know we'd like to soften that word and use something else, but the reality is they say the word sin. God looks for somebody who has a desire to be a fair neighbor, who will go out of their way to provide, who will go out of their way to notice and provide and protect. It's the God that we serve. You need to understand that exactly what we're talking about, exactly what that story talks about, because Jesus says, so who out of these three was a good neighbor or was a neighbor? He says, well, the person who showed mercy. And so that would answer the question, who is a neighbor? A neighbor is anybody that you come across. Anybody that you come across who has a need is your neighbor. Please hear me. Every person you come across has a need. Whether they're Christian or not Christian, they have a need. And our God is a God who lives out this fair neighbor lifestyle. You see, person after person might walk by, but God up in heaven took notice of a need on earth. And he said, I have what it takes to answer that need. And so he sent his son to die on a cross. So he saw the need. He had his resources to answer the needs, so he did. He did not hold back. He did not hold back his grace. He does not hold back his love. He does not hold back that stuff from us. But even more than that, he also protects. He also protects that he goes in front of us and he goes behind us and he surrounds us and he protects us. He is that good Samaritan. He is that person who lives out a life to exemplify or to show us what a fair neighbor is. He doesn't just teach us about it. The Bible does not just tell us to do things, but everything that the Bible tells us to do, Jesus did for us. He models how to be a good neighbor. He models how to be a Christian. He models that lifestyle for us. So when you don't know how to be a good neighbor, all you have to do is look to the cross. You find your answer. But if you follow these steps, you find yourself walking into a path that leads you to being the fair neighbor that is needed. God sets you up to succeed. God has set you up to succeed. He's shown you how you can succeed. That's why he says, don't turn from my word, but stick to it, and I'll show you how to become the things that I'm asking you to become. Would you bow your heads this morning? Maybe you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. What I mean by that is you've never taken an opportunity to say, Jesus, would you come and live in my life? I believe that you lived, I believe that you died, and I believe that you rose again, and that if I am to confess that with my lips and believe it in my heart, then I can be saved. If you've never done that, please hear me. God loves you. God loves you so much so that he took notice of the need that you have in your life, and he sent his son as a sacrifice for you so that he could have relationship with you and lead you to a better life, greater than you ever thought possible. So if you're here and you could honestly say, I've never accepted Jesus as my Savior, but today I want to accept him into my heart. I want to start a new relationship with him. Would you just lift your hand up high enough so I could see it? There's nobody looking around. It's just me. Just high enough. Just hold it up for a few moments. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Anybody else? Just lift your hand up high enough so I could see it. I'm going to wait about 3 seconds for the best decision you will ever make in your life. Just high enough so I can see it. We're going to pray for you in just a moment, sir. Thank you for your willingness and your desire to say yes to that invitation. But church, I want you to know that when we leave here today, we go about our week, the reality is we will see people who are in need because God will bring them in front of you. And it is our responsibility to step back and say, do I have, at this very moment, the opportunity and what it takes to meet their need? Without thinking about tomorrow or the day after, but in that very moment, can you meet that need? Because I promise you, as you meet a need, God meets yours. And God takes care of us and provides for us. And so we operate in faith. We operate by hearing God's leading. So my encouragement to you this week is to keep your ears wide open and see everywhere that God points to. Because He wants you to be that fair neighbor to that person. Let's pray today. Father, I thank you so much for who you are and what you are always doing in our life. God, you are not far off from our need. You are not far off from our circumstance. You are very aware of what is taking place in our life right now. And God, you draw close to the brokenhearted. You draw close to those who are in need of you to touch and to move. And so I pray that as followers of you, that God, we would be well aware of the needs around us. That we would look to give to those who need. God, I know it hurts. I know it can hurt us and we feel uncomfortable going out of our comfort zone. But you meet us there, Lord. And you will provide for us so that we can be somebody who provides for others, who helps provide for others. We are your extension here on earth. And so I pray that this week we would look for every opportunity. We would give quickly. We would also protect. So that we can become that neighbor you desire us to become. And even greater than that, we would be those people who reveal you so that people can receive you. Father, I'm thankful for this church, the people who are here, and the people who serve you so well, who I know that every day of their life, they're looking for an opportunity to bless and to give and to be your extension. God, I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would continue to reveal yourself to them and that their trust in you would only increase from this day forward. God, for those who are just taking this step for the very first time at being aware of the needs around them, God, encourage them, bless them, let them know that they are honoring you, that they are pleasing you as they step out in faith. And Father, we thank you for that life today who says, I want Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. God, I pray that he would know your love, he would know your grace, he would know your peace, he would know the joy that you offer. Father, I pray that as he leaves, that God, this new journey that begins, Father, I pray that you would surround him with people who are fair neighbors, who would help lead and guide him in this new beginning, this new journey of life. Father, I'm thankful that today you are still changing hearts and changing lives. You are worthy of our praise. So God, would you be with us today? Would you go with us? Go before us. Would we be made aware of your presence in all the things that we are a part of this week? God, we love you and we need you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah. You're free to go this morning, but sir, if you put your hand up this morning, I'd love for you to come to the front right over here. There's somebody who will meet you from our prayer team. And they just want to just talk to you about your decision that you made today and encourage you in the next steps in this journey with Christ. Thanks so much, everybody.